Welcome to the Lemons and Pineapples podcast. I'm your host, Emma O'Brien, personal development coach, heart math practitioner, dog photographer, and entrepreneur. In this podcast, I share tools, strategies, and amazing guest interviews to help you improve your mindset and your well-being with a sprinkle of fun and probably some mention of dogs along the way. So without further ado, let's squeeze the day. Hi, folks. Welcome to episode 60 of the podcast with my guest, Cassandra Rosa. If you've ever had a moment in life where you've been totally stuck and faced with a moment of now what, this episode is for you. We're going to be talking about how to overcome moments where you feel like all your options have gone and you simply don't know what to do next. First, a bit about my guest. Cassandra Rosa is a certified healer and life and intuitive business coach. She helps spiritual entrepreneurs create fulfilling lives and impactful businesses. In her coaching practice, she loves to teach her clients how to clarify their path to their purpose, connect to their inner confidence, and create the fulfilling business they daydream about. Cassandra is a Reiki master, an award-winning speaker, and an award-winning author of her book, Now What? Create the Clarity to Achieve Your Dreams. Cassandra is also a podcast host of a personal development and business podcast called Fulfilled Female Entrepreneur. Welcome to the podcast, Cassandra.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to connect with you. And I just want to speak to the magic of the internet that we're on the opposite ends of the world right now. And we're collaborating. So that's amazing.
It's wonderful, isn't it? And this, I think podcasting is the new networking. And it's been an amazing way for me to connect with people. So thank you for joining me. We've got quite a time difference going on here as well. So lots of things coming together for this conversation. I am of the opinion that we often, as coaches and healers, end up doing work with our own clients as a result of the experiences we've had in our lives that bring us to a point of wanting to help people. So I'm curious if you could start us off by sharing your own now what moment and what brought you here today.
I would love to. So from a very young age, I felt very connected to making a difference in the world. I didn't know what that meant, but leadership opportunities and making a difference in my community really called to me. So come the time when you're in high school and you have to choose what you're going to do with the rest of your life at, 18, which is so crazy. I thought, okay, maybe I'll be a teacher or a psychologist. So I ended up going to school in Canada for psychology. And halfway through my degree, I felt this pull for more. So I felt like the path that I was on wasn't for me. And I keep thinking, now what? Now what? What am I going to do with my life? So I ended up doing an exchange in Namibia, Africa, an after school program with kids, mentoring them. And that's when I started to fall in love with mentorship. But this is about a decade ago, and coaching wasn't as big as it was back then. So I ended up returning from that life-changing experience and feeling like I was caught up in the ABCs of success, of getting that job, making a lot of money, and then you can, make a difference in the world and do with what you want with it. So my family had always wanted me to be in the insurance business. So I ended up doing that to make them happy, a little bit of people pleasing, and just thinking I'll be financially successful. So then I can make a difference, make a foundation one day or something like that. So along this journey, I fell into personal development for myself by accident. And I ended up meeting my first business partner. And at 20 years old, we created vision board workshops in schools with kids. And it was so impactful. And I started to realize, okay, this whole personal development world can be a way, it can be like the teacher, psychologist, and make a difference in the world. So I've been in the industry for a decade now and full-time in this capacity for 5 years. And I really just love how sharing my gifts, like you said, kind of taking my personal experiences and being able to share them with other people can create that ripple effect for other people. I love how I can have one client, she can have her light bulb moment, she can evolve and change, and then she continues in her community and her family and her life to make a difference. So it's been a very powerful and transformational decade, and I'm so grateful to be here having this conversation with you about it.
Yeah. And I think it's there's a few things to speak to here. I think there's the making a difference piece, and I can totally relate to that. albeit from a slightly different angle that I came at it, is I woke up one day when I was 22, 23, and I thought, I'm going to be a photographer. And I wanted to do documentary photography. And one of the things that I was really driven to do was to use photography to tell stories that made a difference for people, to tell stories of people that wouldn't have a spotlight put on them, that perhaps needed that. And then I became a wedding photographer. So let's not detract too much in that that does and did make a difference to the people I did weddings for, but not in a global scale. It's not an impactful way of spending time. And it became quite soul-sucking for me to actually not feel like I was doing something useful to contribute in a bigger way. And
Yes.
coming here, so again, we can also talk about Africa. I think there's something very special about this continent. As you know, and the listeners know, I live in South Africa. And it's been a place where I have been able to fulfill that dream of mine to be able to make a difference with my photography, in that I've found a way to be able to go to animal shelters here and go and photograph dogs that need homes, and to be able to promote them with beautiful photography and then find them homes. And it might seem on a grand global scale, I know I'm not changing the world, but I'm doing my own little bit to change the world. But yet, that's not necessarily how I make my money. And I think sometimes we can get caught up with the frustration of wanting to have a career that pays and makes a difference, and wanting to do something else that makes a difference but doesn't generate money. And I think it's marrying the two together. Coaching is a perfect space to do that. And I resonate with what you've said about the fact that when you coach somebody and they have a big shift, it ripples out into their lives, it ripples out into their families' lives. And I think when we give ourselves permission to show up as our authentic selves, which as coaches is what we're helping people do, and however that looks for them, you give other people permission to do that. And I think it's just a wonderful way of shining a light there. So I think it's great that you're doing that. Tell me a little bit more about your experience in Africa.
Oh wow, it was amazing. Funny enough, so I did an exchange in the Netherlands first, and I fell in love with travel and just going outside of my comfort zone and going outside of my kind of Canadian bubble I was in. And when I came back, I'm like, I'm ready for more. So I went to the lady that introduced me to the exchange. She said, well, it's kind of last minute, but there's this opportunity to go to Namibia, Africa. There's all these kids. There was all teachers. It was like a teacher program. And she said, I know you're not a teacher, but I can always add you in. There's some spots available because I know you and I know that you have a passion for it. So it was kind of like a yes, just like an immediate yes opportunity. And you know, there's a lot of stigma with Africa and North America, and people were trying to deter me for it. But I just felt this call, like this yearning to go there. So it was an after-school program with kids in Namibia. And so we were doing a lot of different activities with them. We were playing different sports with them, and we were kind of speaking to like confidence and kind of personal development then. Little did I know, because we ended up going to this after school program, and they kind of gave us free run to do whatever we wanted to do with them. So I remember having these like intimate conversations about their life with some of these girls one on one, and just seeing the little light bulb moments. That's when I started to kind of fall in love with that whole experience. And it's been a decade, and I've still managed to kind of keep in touch with some of these girls. And, you know, it was such a special moment in time that I look back to often, and just seeing how powerful these experiences can be when you go outside of your comfort zone, when you follow your gut, you trust your intuition to take yourself there, how profound these experiences can be.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you talk about kind of trusting your gut and having the confidence to go after stuff. I think that's something a lot of people find very hard. I get the sense that we're probably quite similar in terms of kind of just going for things. I'm very quick to make decisions, and I'll just go for something and then kind of figure it out afterwards. But for somebody who is listening to this and thinking, you know, I'd love to do something like that. I'd love to start my own business. I'd love to go and volunteer in Africa for 6 months, but I can't. What would you say to somebody who's in that space?
Yeah, so in those now what moments that are all that you're speaking to, right? Of, wanting to change careers, start a business, you have these ideas, right? And you have that kind of general daydream. And then it's like, now what? There's that like little bit of confusion of stepping forward or a lack of confidence or whatever it may be. I think it's really about changing a relationship with fear. So I feel like there's lots of fears that come up when you're stepping outside of your comfort zone. And the way that I've changed my relationship with that type of fear is really seeing it as a compliment. Because my heart, my soul, my intuition is so confident that if I take that step, my life will change in such a magical way. But we are beings that are still kind of connected to the caveman days with that like safety and security, right? So it's like when you leave the cave, you might be eaten by a lion, right? That's the way our brain kind of works. We're not in that kind of situation as much anymore as we were back then. So seeing that by stepping outside of your comfort zone, you're not going to be eaten by a lion. It's leaning into that intuitive knowing and seeing it as a compliment. Your soul, your heart is so confident if you step outside of your comfort zone that your kind of inner cave woman, caveman is coming in and setting off the sirens to kind of keep you safe and keep you in the cave. So once I acknowledged that part of myself and understood that fully, I was able to make those big steps and develop more of a self-trust to be able to go after what I'm daydreaming about.
Yeah, I think there's that big thing, isn't there, of understanding our own fear and knowing that it's there keeping us safe. It's been one of the things I've been working on in my own self-development journey of working with that inner voice that goes, this isn't a good idea. Or the thought, the kind of ruminating worry thoughts. I'm a excellent catastrophizer. So that is something I'm very much doing my own inner work on, is I will jump to literal worst case scenario. And I think it's about noticing that happening and then going, hang on a minute, we're not really being very logical here. So I understand that you worry thoughts are trying to keep me safe, but actually you're also keeping me stuck.
Yes.
And it's massively frustrating. And I think it can sometimes, though, be easier said than done to intellectually say to someone, your fear is keeping you stuck. It's trying to keep you safe. Just ignore it and carry on. What strategies do you have for somebody who is listening to this and thinking, that's really great, but I actually can't get past this fear? I can't shift it. I understand that it's there, but I'm still completely paralyzed.
It's giving the microphone to it. It's something I actually heard from my coach of like, okay, not bypassing. Sometimes in life we just want to push through. Enough with the toxic positivity of everything's fine, fake smile, and like just ignoring that part of yourself. It's really cultivating some space to be aware of what those fears are. So it's like give a microphone to your fears. What would your fears tell you right now is happening? So listen to that mind, that subconscious part of your mind, that monkey mind that's going on, and be aware of what it needs to say and start to create some understanding and some compassion of where that could come from. Maybe when you were a kid, you took a step outside of your comfort zone and people bullied you and called you crazy for it. Or maybe your parents, would harp on you for specific things. So acknowledging and understanding and having that awareness and grace and presence with that is super key so that you're not just pushing it away.
Yeah.
Having that and acknowledging that, and then just getting in a choice point situation of like, I understand that this is where it's coming from. I understand that this is what the fears are, but what do you choose? Like, we are the co-creators of our life and our destiny. We get to not be victims, but be the creators. So it's choosing, do I want to stay on an old story or an old belief or whatever it is that was holding you back during this now what moment? Or are you choosing to just step outside of your comfort zone and just see what that opportunity can provide for you, for your physical, emotional, and spiritual growth?
Yeah, I think it's often about making either the pain of not moving greater than the actual fear of moving, or the pleasure of what you're going to get when you move greater than the fear. And I think it's sitting with that. And I love what you're saying about giving it the microphone of literally I think sometimes I found it really helpful to sit with that fear and say, what is it you're really afraid of here? Because often it's not what you think. I think sometimes, and I've coached people around, what's actually happening is not so much a fear of failure, it's a fear of success. Because if you're going after a big goal, you're coaching people who are after building businesses, and I'm coaching people who are after more in their lives, is we often don't know what's on the other side of that more. And you can put your vision board together with the financial goal and the holidays, and mine sometimes has trips on a private jet. And you can look at that and you can kind of go, yeah, God, that would be really great to have that. But there's often a part of us that goes, hang on a minute, we have no idea what it would be like if we were on a private jet. I mean, think of all the problems that might come with that kind of thing, and think of all the problems that might come with more money. And I think they're often very subconscious. So it's really useful to, I think sometimes we have to sit in that fear because it's physically very uncomfortable to feel these big emotions. And you've touched on that, is often we just want them to go away and we try and shove them in a box somewhere, and they might sit there quietly for a while, but they won't stay there quietly for long. And there's this lovely phrase of new level, new devil. Whenever we're going for an up level, often all of the stuff comes up to be dealt with. Because I look at it and think it's like it's sort of last dying swan dive of, hang on a minute, I'm gonna really try and stop you. I can see you're on the edge of jumping out of the comfort zone here. I'm just gonna grab you by the ankles and just see if we can stay here where we know what's going on. And it is, you've got to work with it, I think, because then you understand it, you understand the beliefs that drive it. And once we've got a bit of an understanding of it, I think it's easier to start to dismantle it. Because often, like you've said, something, a fear of success, for example, yeah, it could be, gosh, we don't know what it'll be like to have loads more money. But it also might be something happened at school, you were given an award, everybody laughed at you. All sorts of things that are actually sitting in your subconscious that you just don't know about. So I think there's just so many pieces at play. And the more work we do on ourselves to understand what's happening, I think the easier it is to navigate. Because wherever you're going in life, these things come up. There's no avoiding it, unfortunately.
Especially in the now what moments, because those now what moments often come up when we're doing something outside of our comfort zone, or we're having this big idea or big dream, or feeling this need to make a change, right? So change is outside of the comfort zone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would love to hear a little bit more about your book. So I'm very curious. Obviously, this now what piece has been so impactful for you and so influential in your life that you've written a book about it. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I launched it in 2020, right in the peak of all the worldly things that were going
Oh,
on.
yes. What a great year that was.
So it was very timely for people because a lot of people were having now what moments. What am I going to do with my life? So essentially, there is my story throughout it, and it's also a workbook. So there's lots of little exercises that you grab your pen and you fill out as you go. So the breakthroughs that people have had from the book have been amazing, but the mission behind it is to help you to navigate those now what moments, to help you to step into that clarity of what it is that you want for yourself next, to help you to unpack some of these blocks and really step into this confidence of being able to move forward, and then cultivating like a roadmap, a step-by-step process to get that momentum going towards making yourself out of this now what moment and starting to have clarity of what your next dream will be. So it's
Love
available on
it.
Amazon, and it's such a special project of mine that I hold near and dear to my heart, even though it's been so many years since I released it now.
Yeah, and how long did it take you to write the book before it went to print and to be published?
Yeah, it was a lot of divine timing. It was a 2-year experience of writing it, which I thought was a little bit longer than I intended. And it was funny, I was supposed to launch it in the beginning of 2020, and then all my book edits disappeared and I had to kind of start over. So it pushed it back about 7, 8 months, but it was divine timing because I released in August, and that was the thick of the worldly stuff that was going on. So it was very divinely timed, but it was an interesting process because I was developing and navigating so many now what moments as I was writing the book. So it became very personal and A lot of the stories in there are very profound from my life experience. So,
Yeah, and so folks, I'm going to put the link in the show notes to go find Cassandra's book there. And I think there's nothing quite like a project, like a book or something that becomes deeply personal, that you then put it out into the world for lots of people to see, to bring up all sorts of imposter syndrome and everything else. So I think it's an incredible act of courage, because I think there's a lot of people who want to write a book but never quite get to it. And a lot of very consistent and quite strict time management with writing it as well. I published a photography book in 2017, which has got little, of course, about dogs, obviously. It's got little stories in it. And that had to, I had to batch that. I had to allocate time each day to do it. And I had to be very strict with myself about getting to the computer and sitting down and writing, even when I didn't want to, because it's just a process. And I think it's one of those things that it's a bit of a mountain climb, that you just have to put one foot in front of the other and keep walking with it in order to make it happen. So, I think it's great that you completed it and got it out there.
you too. Thank you.
So this has been really interesting to talk about these now what moments. I think it's just so relatable for people. And I seem to be speaking to more and more people these days who are just having these now what moments of, I'm working in corporate and I've had enough, and what do I do next? Or, I've people realizing they just want more out of life.
Yes.
And we're told, I think, and conditioned into, well, if you're comfortable, you should be grateful for what you've got. How do you speak to that external messaging of people who sort of say, well, you should be happy with what you've got. Why do you want more? You're comfortable. You've got a nice life. Who are you to ask for more?
I think you can have both. You can be happy from where you're at in this present moment and still long for something more fulfillment, more confidence, more happiness, more joy, whatever that is for you. So I think it's having both and acknowledging, hey, you know what? I can be grateful for where I am. I can be grateful for my 9 to 5 that's able to give me, my safety, security, comfortability that I need. But I also, this moreness thing, this daydream that I'm having when I'm in the office doing the cold calling, I'm feeling that. Or, having conversations with friends that are in the place that I want to be, that moreness is amazing. And I think, a lot of naysayers are going to come up because they might not get it because, they say the top 1%, 10% of people do the things that most people aren't gonna do. So for people that are in the early stages and they're thinking, now what? I want to create a business. Now what? I want to find my purpose. I would really lean into a community of people that are on the similar path as you and really lean into that and share your experiences there. And then the people that might not be supportive or might not get it, it's okay. Maybe keep some of that near and dear to your heart until the time being, until you feel like you're confident and you're ready to step into it fully and be able to share it with them. I know that was big for me when I was starting, is leaning into the community and not expecting everybody to get and approve the choices that I make.
Yeah, I think there's two things I hear in there that I think are really important. It's giving yourself permission that it's okay if you want more, and it's finding a tribe of people who are also on a similar journey to you as well. I think there's nothing like being surrounded by like-minded people when you're working on an up level in life or business, whatever it is, to be in that vibration of other people who are doing the same thing. It's very motivating as well. I found being in I've been in a couple of group coaching programs, and it's been massively influential in the level of success I've achieved. So thank you for sharing that. For anybody who is having a now what moment and they'd like to get hold of you and talk to you more about how you might help them, where can folks find you, Cassandra?
Yeah, CassandraRosa.com has all my different offerings, my podcasts, my book link. So you can go and check that out, or you can come on to Instagram. My handle is CassandraRosaA. So you're welcome to come and connect with me, DM me. My DMs are always open. It would be beautiful to connect with you and support you on your journey.
Wonderful. I will put all the links in the show notes, and I believe you have a free gift for the listeners as well. Just tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So if you're an aspiring entrepreneur and you have this dream of what you want to bring forth, but you keep doing this one step forward, two steps back type of motion, I have the Confident Entrepreneur Journal available for you for free. And it has 22 different journal prompts to help you to learn how to act in spite of your fears and finally take the steps to get the momentum going to make a difference and an impact in your own ripple effect on the world.
Wonderful. I'm going to share that as well. I actually downloaded it today as well. So it's jam-packed with things. And I think journaling has been a really great tool, and it's very powerful just to uncover. We've talked about blocks today. It's really powerful for helping you to uncover blocks. And you might have a moment of, oh, that is why I'm struggling with this. And often there are things that come up and you go, oh, I understand why I'm bothered, why that's bothering me now. And then you can carry on. So journaling's super useful, and those journal prompts in there are great. So Cassandra,
Yeah.
thank you again for joining me today. It's been a really lovely conversation, and I've really, really enjoyed it.
Thank you for having me. It's been so much fun.
Thank you for joining us, folks. I will see you again next week. Bye for now. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you've enjoyed it, please share with your friends and be sure to leave me a 5-star rating and review, especially if you're listening on Pine Apple Podcasts. To find out more about my one-on-one coaching, please visit my website, which is emmaobriancoach.com. And remember, folks, when life gives you lemons, you can always choose another fruit. See you next time.